Welcome to the Kidmen Huddle, part of the Kids Matter Podcast Network. Gather round, Kidmen leaders, and be encouraged and equipped as you build the kingdom. Now here's your host, Amber Pike.
Welcome back, friends. It's episode 28 of the Kidmen Huddle. And I want to talk today about the amount of kids in your class. Now, I don't mean if you're a big church or a small church or any of that, but really the ages of the kids in your class. Now, I'm at a small church, as you've probably figured out if you've listened to me before. So we have four-year-olds in a classroom with six-year-olds. That's not that weird. We have four-year-olds in there with sixth graders. And it's a bit challenging, though, honestly. Some days my four-year-olds are better behaved and better listeners than my sixth graders. I'm just saying. But because we're small, we're not able to separate. We don't have enough kids. We have some kids that they're the only kid in their age group. And it would be sad if we made them go to a class all by themselves. So we're all together. Now we do break up some for Sunday school. We're able to break into two classes. We used to have three, but again, the ages, honestly, it was a mix of ages and a teacher stepping down. We've gone to just two. So we have like an older and a younger Sunday school class. But for children's church during the worship hour, we're all together. And it presents some challenges. Having preschoolers learning at the same time as preteens, it's a challenge. They're at different levels just all across the board. Developmentally, they're different. Their ability to comprehend things, abstract thinking versus concrete thinking, they're different. Their skills are different. A preschooler, some of them don't even know their letters versus, you know, a fifth, sixth grader, you expect them to be able to follow along and read in their Bible. Skill-wise, they're on opposite ends of the spectrum everywhere. Even physical skills, you have to think about the games that you play. Can a preschooler do it? Because a preteen has a different level. But if you're like us, we don't really have an option to split kids up. So we have to be all together. And there's a couple of things I've learned because honestly, I've done this my entire ministry career. Every church I've served at, including the one I served at when I was still a kid in my home church growing up, they've all been like this. I don't know ministry in a different way. But I do have a couple of tips that make learning time a little easier and maximize all the kids' ability to learn. So, biggest tip, tip number one, make it active. Think of how you can get your kids physically moving. There is something about getting them up and physically moving that just makes the world a difference. Because when you move, if you look at the science of it, it gets that blood flowing through your veins. It gets, you know, your brain gets a fresh supply of blood. But then it just kind of calms you down. It gets those wiggles out, those excitable, I can't sit still and listen genes. It gets them out of the way so that after an active game, they're able to sit and listen. You also have the benefit of if things are active, like if you're doing an active review game where kids have to get up and physically move, they have a better chance of remembering it too. So I, right now, especially, am trying to find as many ways to get kids up and moving. We just moved into this new classroom, and with my super cool vinyl machine, I actually made a permanent four corner numbers in our room. So each corner has a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, because four corners is a great way to get the kids up and moving. Now, not just for the sake of getting them up and moving, but I'll do this with our lesson. Like, okay, what do you think the answer is? 1, 2, 3, 4. I do a lot of sit and stand. Sit if you think it's this, stand if you think it's this. It gets them up, it gets them moving. It re-engages them in the teaching time. Number two is plan activities. I've seen with my littles on Wednesday nights especially, sometimes if they just have a paper and a marker to draw on during teaching time, they're better focused. Now, they're not always listening at 100% capacity, but they're making it where everyone else can listen. So it's kind of a trade-off. They're not necessarily 100% engaged if you just let them do their thing and draw, but they're not a distraction at that point. But I'll plan activities to where there are options. So let's say I have kids, I need them to write their answer to this question. You know, what's your favorite thing God made? My big kids can write it out. They can think it out. But my little ones can't. So I always say, or draw a picture. Because not all kids can spell or know their words. And some little ones are going to draw you beautiful, sweet pictures. And other ones are going to draw, you know, a blob eating another blob. Whatever. But it gives them the chance to participate in the lesson. And they like activities. I have one little boy. Are we going to play a game? Are we going to play a game? So try to fit in as many activities as you can. Now make them useful. Learning activities. Don't waste the time that you have. I also kind of like tip 2A, use groups for activities. When you put kids in groups, you're able to have your big kids help with your littles. So that's working on good skills for your big kids. It's working on their giftedness, teaching them to serve in the church, to be good helpers, all that great stuff. But it's also forming connections between the kids, between pretty large age gaps, which is important. Also, bring in teens. We have the best teens in the world. The relationships that my teens are forming with my kids, it's amazing. One of them, I'm going to brag on him. I love him so much. He's really sweet and patient with my son. And Reed was rattling off, you know, all this stuff. And the other week he told him his birthday's coming up. And on Sunday, this big old football star comes in with a Thomas the Train gift bag. He bought my son a present because he said his birthday was coming up. Oh yeah, he's my favorite. But those relationships forming when you put kids in groups to work, it's beautiful. It's important. I will say, because I was that kid that hated group work, give kids the option to work alone. Not every kid likes to be in a group. That was me. You told me group work and I inwardly died a little bit because I hate group work. But for those that want to work in groups and for engaging little kids, group work's really handy. You're able to do the task even if you don't have the necessary skills. Tip number 3 to make lesson time work when you've got all ages. Sometimes you just need a wiggle break. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You've had those days where the kids are just out of control. They're bouncing in their seats. They might actually be climbing the walls. They won't stop talking. I've literally stopped the lesson and told everyone to stand up and wiggle it out for 30 seconds. And then you have them sit back down and they're different kids. Again, it's that active, that kinesthetic learning, that blood flowing, that you've moved, it makes the world a difference. So add in dance breaks, wiggle breaks, jumping jacks if you need. Do short little bursts of something physical to help refocus everything. And then my last big tip, and I know these aren't like earth-shattering, but I promise they work, is use short, engaging segments. Now, post-COVID, I have found that this, all of these really, are just as helpful for my preteens. Like truly, there are days when my sixth graders are so much worse behaved than my four-year-olds. They're like extra talky since we've came back. Extra hard to focus, all that. But when you have short, engaging segments, it helps keep their attention. Now, when I say engaging, I'm including you've made it active. There's something for them to do. You're not just standing and talking at them for 20, 40 minutes. Remember, they're kids, so even your preteens have short attention spans. but little ones especially have short attention spans. So make things short, make them engaging, make it not just something that kids have to sit and listen to, but something that they can participate in. Statistics and science have shown that kids remember more of what they do. They'll remember a good percent of what you tell them. They'll remember a little bit more if you've told them and they've read it themselves. They'll remember some of what they've seen, but if it's something they've done, an experiment, an activity, something hands-on and engaging, that's going to be the maximum amount of information retention. And that's our goal. We want kids to remember what they're learning at church. We want them learning at church. And sometimes we have to get creative with how we do that because of things like the fact that we have four-year-olds in there with sixth graders. But I promise you, it can be done. If you find yourself in this situation, I would be more than happy to talk to you, to give you some pointers, to give you encouragement, because I have been serving in the ministry since I was 15. And I have days where my kids don't listen. My throat is sore from trying to talk over all the other conversations because they just won't stop. I have days where I don't think anyone listened. And I come home kind of wanting to cry and kind of questioning, man, am I sure I still need to be doing this? There are going to be rough days. But then there will be great days. So I'm going to close with just a little bit of encouragement from one of my four-year-olds. It was a crazy Sunday. My daughter has started attending children's church, and so she kind of ended on Sunday in a meltdown for a sucker. She'd already had one, but she needed another. I have these two sixth graders who will not stop talking. I'm talking like a leader's on them constantly, and they won't stop talking. It was crazy. It was loud. I'm have a meeting today to work on getting a sound system in our new classroom because honestly, it's just too big for me to keep control over the class like I need to, volume wise. And in the midst of all of that craziness happening, we were talking about Jesus in our lesson. Jesus was going to the garden to pray. He knew what was coming. He was getting ready to face the worst thing ever. And this little sweet little four-year-old who, she's four, so you know, she's not always listening. She's like, yeah, it was bad, but it was kind of good because Jesus was about ready to die for us. I was floored. What a beautiful answer. What an amazing understanding of Jesus by a little four-year-old preschooler in the midst of all the craziness. So if you are teaching kids and they're all together, you've got littles with your bigs, I encourage you, engage them in God's story. Physically engage them, make it active, and you'll be amazed at what these little ones and your big ones are going to learn. And most of all, remember, Kidmen leaders, what you do matters.